Welcome to the podcast series The New Student Pharmacist, where we discuss chemistry and pharmacy, as well as leaders in pharmacy careers, community, and chemistry and pharmacy research. We encourage you to support the work we are doing and follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts by subscribing for free. Note, the views on the podcast represent those of my guest and I.
You are very important, especially to us here at the New Chemist podcasting group. You listening in is significant.
Vous êtes très important, surtout pour nous ici au New Chemist podcasting group. Votre écoute est significative.
Usted es muy importante, especialmente para nosotros aquí en The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Usted escuchando, es significativo.
Você é muito importante. Especialmente para nós do The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Você ouvindo, é significativo.
Είστε πολύ σημαντικοί, ειδικά για εμάς εδώ στο The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Το να ακούς είναι σημαντικό. Sie sind sehr wichtig, besonders für uns hier bei The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Es ist wichtig, dass du zuhörst.
Je bent erg belangrijk, vooral voor ons hier bij The New Chemist Podcasting Group. Dat je meeluistert, is veelbetekenend.
You are very important, especially to us here at The New Chemist Podcasting Group. You listening in is significant.
Good morning, Mr. Cawley. Thank you again for joining me. How are you today?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
Good, good. So let's get started. What have been your long-standing interests in the field of the development or national development of the Bahamas?
Well, it seems like you are asking for a little antecedent. My original plan was to become a teacher.
Okay.
Which I did. I attended the San Salvador Teachers College, which eventually morphed into the University College of Bahamas and University of Bahamas, and obtained a teacher diploma from that institution in collaboration with the University of the West Indies. And taught throughout the Family Islands for many years before I obtained a scholarship from the government to attend the University of Miami to pursue education. So I did a bachelor's and a master's in education, returned to the Bahamas where I work at many schools in the secondary education division and became a high school principal. But didn't stay in education very long. I stayed for additional 5 years, and then in 1984 I left and went to law school and have been practiced law for about 30 years. As a family island boy, our options in the 60s and the 70s were limited. But my father was a police officer for 35 years. My mother was a postal worker. And they gave public service for their entire life. And it was the natural role model for many of us, seven children to follow, all of whom entered the public service, either at the police force, the defense force, teaching and law and government. Or other areas of the public service. So it is, and it has always been a part of my immediate family to give service to the country. And so I serve as a teacher and a principal. I serve in the parliament as a senator and as a member of parliament and as a cabinet minister. And now on my second stint as an ambassador. I served previously as the ambassador to CARICOM and Latin American states. And for the last 3 years as the ambassador of the Bahamas to the United States and the permanent representative to the Organization of American States. And so my life, working life outside of college has been public service. And I would count my 30 plus years as a practicing attorney, 15 of which was spent in family law and criminal law, and about 17 years was spent in corporate commercial practice and land law. And even as a business owner and a practicing attorney, I regard my service as service to the country. So you can say it's been a life of service to the Bahamas.
Okay, that's very commendable. That's very good. Your Excellency, how do you maintain a view of the bigger picture in your political and legal and educational careers? And how have you maintained the bigger picture in life in general, amidst all that's going on, whether you face challenges or obstacles, how have you maintained view of the bigger picture?
Well, that's a good question. It's another wide-ranging question. But I will begin by saying, you have to know who you are. And at some point in your early life, either as a teenager or in your early 20s, you ought to fashion in your mind, which I did, what course you want to take. You know, Robert Frost says the road not taken. And so you go down this path and there are many options, but you must decide when you reach the juncture which road you're going to take. And I decided on public service. Well, there's been a combination of public service, including politics and law. And so that's how it began. But you must also have a religious base. I am an ordained minister. I'm not sure you knew that. And I got my early spiritual and religious grounding back in Betsy Bay, Meguana as a boy. I was made to learn how to play the organ, played the organ in church, and became involved in church life. And even though I roam far and wide, visiting virtually every continent in the world, spent a lot of time in universities where your faith is challenged, and the instruction is sometimes, educational instruction is sometimes makes you question your faith. I have remained grounded. And so my wide-ranging perspective is one of spiritual grounding and knowing at an early age what I wanted to do. And despite many obstacles, not diverting from the course that I set out for myself. And so at this stage in my life, as I look back, I can say with very little doubt that I'm happy with the path I chose and the work, the body of work which I've done for my lifetime.
That's very good. As we continue, how have you been adaptive and creative in the field of politics, law, or national development in the Bahamas? How would you say you've been adaptive or creative in any way as you work throughout your career?
Well, with regards to politics, it's an evolving, inexact profession. Okay. And at a different stage of my political career, I made contributions based on where I found myself, based on where the country found itself, and based on the socioeconomic issues prevailing in the country at those times. I serve as a constituency chairman in the Carmichael constituency for 7 years. I serve as a vice chairman in the political party, the Free National Movement, for many years. And then in 1992, I was appointed to the Senate, where I served for 5 years. I was elected deputy leader of the Free National Movement in opposition when we lost, and chairman of the Free National Movement when we won under my chairmanship. And so when it comes, and of course I serve in the cabinet as a minister and serve in the parliament as a member of parliament. So it is fair to say that when you add it all up, I have been in the right place at the right time and was prudent enough to seize the opportunities that were available to make a contribution and a life-fulfilling obligation that I put upon myself. That's the politics. With regard to the law, it is fair to say I sauntered into the law out of necessity. I left teaching when my young family started to grow.
Okay.
I was the breadwinner and the salary was very small. So my family grew very quickly. I had 4 children within the space of 8 years.
Okay.
And the salary couldn't cut it.
Okay.
So I made a great sacrifice to go to law school and was successful after 4 years and was called to the bar. And but that did not stop me from teaching. I continued to teach at the University of the Bahamas as a part-time lecturer while I studied law, while I practiced law during the day. And so, and of course I remain grounded and involved in my church life. So that's the sort of mosaic of the picture.
Okay, that's good. So amidst all of your responsibilities and accomplishments, how have you maintained a balanced life?
A balanced life?
Yes, sir.
Having regard to what I said previously, if you are grounded,
yes, sir,
in whatever area that you determine is for you, and you're comfortable with your space, and you are satisfied that the contributions you are making in the different avenues of life, it brings satisfaction to you, and you feel that you're making a valuable contribution. And the feedback that you are getting from others tell you that you are impacting lives and making a difference. Then you continue. There's no need to fix it if it isn't broken. And so if the niche which you have cut out or crafted for yourself is achieving the objectives you achieving the objectives you wish for yourself, for your family, for your community, and for your country, is moving in the right direction, then you are being creative, you are being productive, and you are making a difference.
Okay, that's good. As well as in your political career and in your legal career, how have you maintained vision and teamwork in your environment?
Well, anyone you speak to,
yes, sir,
who knows me well, will tell you that I am a good team player.
Okay.
I am a team player, and I've regarded myself as a consensus builder. As a matter of fact, a colleague of mine in the MBA, I did a master's in business as well. As you know, if you look at my resume, I spent a lot of time in school. So one of my MBA students met me the other day, a colleague, and said, "We remember you in those tutorial groups. There was a particular course in data analytics that was dealing with quite a lot of numbers and formulas."
Okay.
And there was always a big fight in the tutorials, a small group, and she reminded me, she said, you were the one who was always the peacemaker, always trying to bring consensus. And I remind myself, I didn't remember because those classes were many years ago, 30 years. But it reminded me that over the years in politics, in my practice of the law, I have been a consensus builder. As a matter of fact, when I used to practice family law and did quite a lot of divorces, I always tried to persuade my client, whether that client was the petitioner, the person applying for the divorce, or the respondent, the person who was on the other side, I always tried to persuade them not to go through the divorce, to look for ways to save the marriage. And a lawyer's job, for the most part, is to represent his client and to get what his client wants. And many of my lawyer colleagues said to me, you are, instead of making money, you are trying not to make money by trying to settle this. You're not a social worker. But that has been the story of my life. If you can settle matters peacefully and amicably, it's always better to do that. Because at the end of the day, while no person gets what they want, everybody winds up with a win-win situation. So, all in all, in politics, in my family, in the practice of the law, even as a teacher and an administrator, that has been my modus operandi.
Okay. So, in terms of your legal career, why did you choose law as a field to major in?
Actually, I didn't major in law when I went. I came to law as a mature student. I entered legal training at the age of 84.
Oh, okay.
And I entered Teachers College at the age of 17.
Wow.
So a good 17, 18 years of my life was what I majored in. I majored in education, and I even did a master's in business before I decided to go into law. And I've already told you the reason why I went into law. I went into law because the income in education was not cutting it. You know, and I admire men, or obviously women, many women take control of the educational system, and they are the majority of the educators in the Bahamas, and I'm discovering, even here in the United States, the majority of educators are women. But I admire men in particular who stay in the education system despite the financial and other challenges, because the education system, particularly for teenage boys, need the role model of men in the system. And I'm not taking anything away from women, because without them, there would be no system. But that brings a balance. And so sometimes, in reflection, I ask myself, what kind of a difference and how much of a difference could I have made had I stayed 100% in the education system? But that's water under the bridge. I took the road that I took, and I'm satisfied with my contributions.
Yes, I would say you're making a substantial contribution. Also, do you have any advice for those wanting to pursue the field you are currently working in?
Yes. I'm working now as a diplomat. As I've indicated, I am the Bahamas ambassador to the United States of America, situated in Washington, D.C., and a permanent representative of the Organization of American States. So I have a bilateral function and a multilateral function. The Organization of the American States, OAS, is an assembly of 34 independent countries in Latin America, the Caribbean, including United States, Canada, and Mexico. And it's a body similar to the United Nations that deal with hemispheric issues. And of course, the job I do as the ambassador to the United States and the non-resident ambassador to Mexico and Colombia is on a bilateral basis where I look out for the interest and benefit of the Bahamas in the United States with the United States government and Capitol Hill, with the White House and the various agencies of the government. And the same thing with Mexico and Colombia. In order to reach the level of an ambassador where I am, which is a very senior position, persons are entering a career can aspire to that position, but ought to choose a path which will lead to that position. And many career Foreign Service officers who work for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, starting out as a cadet and then moving through the various levels of the Foreign Service, are working someday to aspire to be an ambassador. For persons who are not in the Foreign Service or not in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or maybe not even in government, like myself, who came from the private sector, and many ambassadors from the private sector and from politics, must have a rich and rewarding life, must stay out of trouble, because when I was nominated to become an ambassador to the United States, I was vetted by the Bahamas government and also by the United States government and all of its agencies. And so to be serving in this position, you must have a rich life, a varied life with certain accomplishments, and you must reach a certain level of maturity and knowledge. But this is the end of the road. The beginning of the road comes with the choices one makes at the very beginning of one's career. And so if one decides that he or she wants to pursue diplomacy and international relations, of course, when you go to college, you would select a major, a discipline which will propel you in that direction. And in the liberal arts colleges, there are many choices. Or if you choose, like I did, to select education or some other discipline, just pursue, perform in that area in your ordinary life to the best of your ability, giving it all you can, and continue to excel. And in due course, opportunities will present themselves.
And the final question, Mr. Colley, I have for you is, what has been, if you were to sum it up in short, what has been some of the most beneficial advice you have received?
Well, when I was getting on that mail boat in Betsy Bay, Miguana in 1968,
okay,
go off to the San Salvador Teachers College at the age of 17, my grandmother stood on the rock and waved to me and said, "Take the name of Jesus with you. wheresoever you go. Of course, the night before, my grandfather and my father and mother gave me my final charge. Don't forget your home teaching. Don't forget your modest upbringing. Don't forget the commitment that you've made to yourself, to your God, and to your country. And if you follow those home teachings, those have been my guiding light, and there have been many other advice given to me along the way. Too many, some of which I have followed, some of which I have not. But the ones given to me by Moses Cawley, my deceased grandfather, and Anna Cawley, and my Edith Cawley, my deceased mother, and Stanley Cawley, my deceased father, all deceased, are what sustained me and have sustained me throughout my career. Those advice are the same advice which I've given my children.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Cawley.
You are very welcome.
It's been a pleasure interviewing you.
And if I may say, I want to wish you, as a young Bahamian in the diaspora, in another area of your academic and hopefully business career, wishing you all the best. I know you have a bright future. This is not the first time I've chatted with you. I am impressed with your standing and wishing you all the best and Godspeed.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Cawley. Thank you again for joining me. How are you today?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
Good, good. So let's get started. What have been your long-standing interests in the field of the development or national development of the Bahamas?
Well, it seems like you are asking for a little antecedent. My original plan was to become a teacher.
Okay.
Which I did. I attended the San Salvador Teachers College, which eventually morphed into the University College of Bahamas and University of Bahamas, and obtained a teacher diploma from that institution in collaboration with the University of the West Indies, and taught throughout the Family Islands for many years. Before I obtained a scholarship from the government to attend the University of Miami to pursue education. So I did a bachelor's and a master's in education, returned to the Bahamas where I work at many schools in the secondary education division, and became a high school principal, but didn't stay in education very long. I stayed for additional 5 years. And then in 1984, I left and went to law school and have been practiced law for about 30 years. As a family island boy, our options in the 60s and the 70s were limited. But my father was a police officer for 35 years. My mother was a postal worker. And they gave public service for their entire life. And it was the natural role model for many of us, 7 children to follow, all of whom entered the public service, either at the police force, the defense force, teaching and law and government. Or other areas of the public service. So it is, and it has always been a part of my immediate family. to give service to the country. And so I serve as a teacher and a principal. I serve in the parliament as a senator and as a member of parliament and as a cabinet minister. And now on my second stint as an ambassador, I served previously as the ambassador to CARICOM and Latin American states. And for the last 3 years as the ambassador of the Bahamas to the United States and the permanent representative to the Organization of American States. And so my life, working life outside of college has been public service. And I would count my 30 plus years as a practicing attorney, 15 of which was spent in family law and criminal law, and about 17 years was spent in corporate commercial practice and land law. And even as a business owner and a practicing attorney, I regard my service as service to the country. So you can say it's been a life of service to the Bahamas.
Okay. It's very commendable. It's very good. Your Excellency, how do you maintain a view of the bigger picture in your political and legal and educational careers? And how have you maintained the bigger picture in life in general, amidst all that's going on, whether you face challenges or obstacles, how have you maintained view of the bigger picture?
Well, that's a good question. It's another wide-ranging question. But I will begin by saying you have to know who you are. And at some point in your early life, either as a teenager or in your early 20s, you ought to fashion in your mind, which I did, what course you want to take. You know, Robert Frost says the road not taken. And so you go down this path and there are many options, but you must decide when you reach the juncture which road you're going to take. And I decided on public service. Well, there's been a combination of public service, including politics and law. And so that's how it began. But you must also have a religious base. I am an ordained minister. I'm not sure you knew that. And I got my early spiritual and religious grounding back in Betsy Bay, Miguana as a boy, where I was made to learn how to play the organ, played the organ in church, and became involved in church life. And even though I roam far and wide, visiting virtually every continent in the world, spent a lot of time in universities where your faith is challenged and the instruction is sometimes, educational instruction is sometimes makes you question your faith. I have remained grounded. And so my wide-ranging perspective is one of spiritual grounding and knowing at an early age what I wanted to do. And despite many obstacles, not diverting from the course that I set out for myself. And so at this stage in my life, as I look back, I can say with very little doubt that I'm happy with the path I chose and the work, the body of work which I've done for my lifetime.
That's very good. As well, as we continue, how have you been adaptive and creative in the field of politics, law, or national development in the Bahamas? How would you say you've been adaptive or creative in any way as you work throughout your career?
With regards to politics, it's an evolving, inexact profession. And at a different stage of my political career, I made contributions based on where I found myself, based on where the country found itself, and based on the socioeconomic issues prevailing in the country at those times. I serve as a constituency chairman in the Carmichael constituency for 7 years. I serve as a vice chairman in the political party, the Free National Movement, for many years. And then in 1992, I was appointed to the Senate, where I served for 5 years. I was elected deputy leader of the Free National Movement in opposition when we lost, and chairman of the Free National Movement when we won under my chairmanship. And so when it comes, and of course I serve in the cabinet as a minister and serve in the parliament as a member of parliament. So it is fair to say that when you add it all up, I have been in the right place at the right time and was prudent enough to seize the opportunities that were available to make a contribution and a life-fulfilling obligation that I put upon myself. That's the politics. With regard to the law, it is fair to say I sauntered into the law out of necessity. I left teaching when my young family started to grow.
Okay.
I was the breadwinner, and the salary was very small. So my family grew very quickly. I had 4 children within the space of 8 years.
Okay.
And the salary couldn't cut it.
Okay.
So I made a great sacrifice to go to law school and was successful after 4 years and was called to the bar. And but that did not stop me from teaching. I continued to teach at the University of the Bahamas as a part-time lecturer while I studied law, while I practiced law during the day. And so, and of course I remain grounded and involved in my church life. So that's the sort of mosaic of the picture.
Okay, that's good. So amidst all of your responsibilities and accomplishments, how have you maintained a balanced life?
A balanced life?
Yes,
sir. Having regard to what I said previously, if you are grounded,
yes,
sir, in whatever area that you determine is for you, and you're comfortable with your space, and you are satisfied that the contributions you are making in the different avenues of life, it brings satisfaction to you, and you feel that you're making a valuable contribution, and the feedback that you are getting from others tell you that you are impacting lives and making a difference, then you continue. There's no need to fix it if it isn't broken. And so if the niche which you have cut out or crafted for yourself achieving the objectives you wish for yourself, for your family, for your community, and for your country, is moving in the right direction, then you are being creative, you are being productive, and you are making a difference.
Okay, that's good. As well as in your political career and in your legal career, how have you maintained vision and teamwork in your environment?
Well, anyone you speak to,
yes, sir,
who knows me well, will tell you that I am a good team player.
Okay.
I am a team player, and I've regarded myself as a consensus builder. As a matter of fact, a colleague of mine in the MBA, I did a master's in business as well. As you know, if you look at my resume, I spent a lot of time in school. So one of my MBA students met me the other day, a colleague, and says, "We remember you in those tutorial groups. There was a particular course in data analytics that was dealing with quite a lot of numbers and formulas. And there was always a big fight in the tutorials, a small group. And she reminded me, she said, you were the one who was always the peacemaker, always trying to bring consensus. And I remind myself, I didn't remember because those classes were many years ago, 30, 25, 30 years. But it reminded me that over the years in politics, in my practice of the law, I have been a consensus builder. As a matter of fact, when I used to practice family law and did quite a lot of divorces, I always tried to persuade my client, whether that client was the petitioner, the person applying for the divorce, or the respondent, the person who was on the other side, I always tried to persuade them not to go through the divorce, to look for ways to save the marriage. And a lawyer's job, and for the most part, is to represent his client and to get what his client wants. And many of my lawyer colleagues said to me, "You are, instead of making money, you are trying not to make money by trying to settle this. You're not a social worker." But that has been the story of my life. If you can settle matters peacefully and amicably, it's always better to do that. Because at the end of the day, while no person gets what they want, everybody winds up with a win-win situation. So, all in all, in politics, in my family, in the practice of the law, even as a teacher and an administrator, that has been my modus operandi.
Okay. So, in terms of your legal career, why did you choose law as a field to major in?
Actually, I didn't major in law when I went. I came to law as a mature student. I entered legal training at the age of 84.
Oh, okay.
And I entered teachers' college at the age of 17.
Wow.
So a good 17, 18 years of my life was what I majored in. I majored in education, and I even did a master's in business before I decided to go into law. And I've already told you the reason why I went into law. I went into law because the income in education was not cutting it. You know, and I admire men, or obviously women, many women take control of the educational system, and they are the majority of the educators in the Bahamas, and I'm discovering, even here in the United States, the majority of educators are women. But I admire men in particular who stay in the education system despite the financial and other challenges, because The education system, particularly for teenage boys, made the role model of men in the system. And I'm not taking anything away from women, because without them, there would be no system. But that brings a balance. And so sometimes, in reflection, I ask myself, what kind of a difference and how much of a difference could I have made had I stayed 100% in the education system? But that's water under the bridge. I took the road that I took, and I'm satisfied with my contributions.
Yes, I would say you're making a substantial contribution. Also, do you have any advice for those wanting to pursue the field you are currently working in?
Yes. I'm working now as a diplomat. As I've indicated, I am the Bahamas ambassador to the United States of America, situated in Washington, D.C., and a permanent representative of the Organization of American States. So I have a bilateral function and a multilateral function. The Organization of the American States, OAS, is an assembly of 34 independent countries in Latin America, the Caribbean, including the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And it's a body similar to the United Nations that deal with hemispheric issues. And of course, the job I do as the ambassador to the United States and the non-resident ambassador to Mexico and Colombia is on a bilateral basis, where I look out for the interest and benefits of the Bahamas in the United States with the United States government and Capitol Hill, with the White House, and the various agencies of the government. And the same thing with Mexico and Colombia. In order to reach the level of an ambassador where I am, which is a very senior position, persons are entering a career can aspire to that position, but ought to choose a path which will lead to that position. And many career foreign service officers who work for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, starting out as a cadet, and then moving through the various levels of the Foreign Service, are working someday to aspire to be an ambassador. For persons who are not in the Foreign Service or not in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, or maybe not even in government, like myself, who came from the private sector, and many ambassadors from the private sector and from politics, must have a rich and rewarding life, must stay out of trouble, because when I was nominated to become an ambassador to the United States, I was vetted by the Bahamas government and also by the United States government, all of its agencies. And so, to be serving in this position, you must have a rich life, a varied life with certain accomplishments, and you must reach a certain level of maturity and knowledge. But this is the end of the road. The beginning of the road comes with the choices one makes at the very beginning of one's career. And so one decides that he or she wants to pursue diplomacy and international relations. Of course, when you go to college, you would select a major, a discipline, which will propel you in that direction. And in the liberal arts colleges, there are many choices. Or if you choose, like I did, to select education or some other discipline, just pursue, perform in that area in your ordinary life to the best of your ability, giving it all you can, and continue to excel. And in due course, opportunities will present themselves.
And the final question, Mr. Colley, I have for you is, what has been, if you were to sum it up in short, what has been some of the most beneficial advice you have received?
Well, when I was getting on that mail boat at Betsy Bay Meguana in 1968,
okay,
to go off to the San Salvador Teachers College at the age of 17, my grandmother stood on the rock and waved to me and said, "Take the name of Jesus with you, wheresoever you go." Of course, the night before, my grandfather and my father and mother gave me my final charge. Don't forget your home teaching. Don't forget your modest upbringing. Don't forget the commitment that you've made to yourself, to your God, and to your country. And if you follow those home teachings, those have been my guiding light, and there have been many other advice given to me along the way. Too many, some of which I have followed, some of which I have not. But the ones given to me by Moses Colley, my deceased grandfather, and Anna Colley, and my Edith Colley, my deceased mother, and Stanley Colley, my deceased father, all deceased, are what sustained me and have sustained me throughout my career. Those advice are the same advice which I've given my children.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mr. Colley.
You are very welcome.
It's been a pleasure interviewing you.
And if I may say, I want to wish you, as a young Bahamian in the diaspora, in another area of your academic and hopefully business career, wishing you all the best. I know you have a bright future. This is not the first time I've chatted with you. I am impressed with your standing and wishing you all the best and Godspeed.
Thank you.
Yes, you can. You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Your strategy, self-care, and community.
Self-care. but I promise you they will accomplish the list.
Strategy. Yes, you can. You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community.
Keep going. You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community.
Yes, you can. You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community. Self-care and community. Keep going. Yes, you can. community. Keep going. Yes, you can. You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community.
If you try, believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community.
Keep going. It starts with the decision to try. John F. Kennedy.
Predict the future is to create it.
Theme you can. And you're halfway there.
Theodore Roosevelt. The loudest voices, but I promise you they will accomplish the least.
Your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more.
I promise you they will accomplish the least. You they will accomplish the least.
Your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more. You are a leader.
John Quincy Adams. But I promise you they will accomplish the least. Barack Obama.
The future is to create it.
Accomplishment starts with the decision to try. John F. Kennedy.
You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community.
You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community. Keep going. Yes, you can. You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community.
Strategy, self-care, and community.
Yes, you can. You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community. Keep going.
With the decision to try.
Do anything if you try. Believe in yourself.
Use strategy, self-care, and community.
Keep going. With the decision to try. John F. Kennedy.
The way to predict the future is to create it.
Believe you can, and you're halfway there. Theodore
the
Roosevelt.
Loudest voices, but I promise you they will accomplish the least.
Thank you.
starts with the decision to try. John F. Kennedy. You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself. You have what you need to succeed. Use strategy, self-care, and community.
You can do anything if you try. Believe in yourself.
Thank you.
Welcome to the New Chemist. We're glad you're listening. Feel free to download this podcast on Spotify and Google Podcasts. Here on the New Chemist, we discuss chemistry, which simply put, is the science of change, as well as careers, community, research, and COVID-19. We're happy you're tuning in. My guest this morning is His Excellency Sidney Colley, the Bahamian Ambassador to the United States and Permanent Representative to the OAS Embassy and Permanent Mission of the Bahamas. Thanks for joining me this morning. It is so good to hear from you. Just briefly, I'll inform my audience about you. His Excellency Sidney Colley, the Bahamian Ambassador to the United States and Permanent Representative to the OAS Embassy and Permanent Mission of the Bahamas, is an accomplished scholar, lawyer, minister, and author. Ambassador Colley was appointed Ambassador to the United States of America, Permanent Representative to the Organization of American States, and non-resident ambassador to Mexico, Colombia, and Malaysia on October 1st, 2017. He presented his credentials to the OAS on the 15th of November, 2017, and to the President of the United States of America on the 29th of November, 2017. Please welcome His Excellency, Sidney Colley.